Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Sri Banerjee, epidemiologist, biostatistician, faculty member. And in this segment, I'm going to be going over how to write up a proposal for the quantitative dissertation. So let's go and get started. And depending on your preference, sometimes the chapter to begin varies. So typically, there's chapters 1, 2, and 3. And if you take a look, let me scroll down to the area that you go to. So this is front matter. You're not really worried about this until the end of the proposal, and you can kind of put in the abstract and future tense what you will be doing in your study. Now remember, when you're writing a proposal, in terms of IRB, until the committee member has approved your proposal, you're not able to apply for IRB. For those of you that have a primary quantitative study, this might mean that you have to be prepared for IRB. However, you can't actually submit that until you're ready. So let's focus on this. So chapter one has a description of the topic, and this is mainly generated from a prospectus. So what I tell students is that chapter one is something you want to leave till the end. However, I'm gonna, for the sake of going into chronological order, you describe the topic of the study and include positive social change, and then preview major sections of the chapter. And that's the beginning of chapter one. One of the things that you'll notice is that there's an introduction and conclusion to most of the chapters. Over here, background, some of this is already included in your prospectus, problem statement, and then purpose of the study. And the problem statements from prospectus, purpose of the study, research questions are formulated. However, if you do get recommendations from the level of the program director, then it is very important for you to incorporate these and take a look at the important comments that are available. So here's the research questions and hypotheses, and then work with your chair to try to find the optimal research questions that are going to be with the study. Theoretical conceptual framework, nature of the study, and then go through the definitions, assumptions. Make sure you go through these descriptions, and then start to populate this with page numbers and whatnot. Sometimes, of course, many times students like to write the narrative in here, and that is kind of what is evaluated in some ways, even though the page number is most important. Scope and delimitations, limitations, significance, and summary. Then we're into chapter two. And again, some chairs prefer, on the university level, some people prefer chapter two to be written first. And you start with an introduction, like I said, relate the problem and the purpose, and then preview major sections. So here's the literature search strategy, and what you do is go into the database, and some of this is actually in your prospectus, believe it or not, and then take a look at what words or searches are important. Then the theoretical foundation, of course, if you have the socio-ecological model, you can go in there. Go into a bit more detail than what you have in your prospectus. So then you start into the literature review. And remember, in your prospectus, you've already completed 10 article searches and literature reviews. So just elaborate on that and then add more articles as you see appropriate. You want to have as much in your literature review as possible. Then you can make informed analyses in your proposal. And then summary and conclusion. Then chapter three is introduction, and then research design and rationale. This is where you start introducing your variables, and then methodology, and in your methodology you have population sampling and sampling procedures. And this is where oftentimes students get confused about what to put in each of the sections and how to take a look. And there's a multiple options here. When I was going through my dissertation, I had a question about archival data. Most of you, almost none of you, will be collecting archival data. Most of the studies that are conducted are observational studies. Usually there's not longitudinal studies in here. So most people don't conduct a pilot study. Mainly people, when they're conducting a primary data, they have recruitment, participation, and data collection that is included within chapter 3, and can go over some of these other things that are available. So this is important: instrumentation and operationalization of constructs. And this is where you start to talk about the appropriateness to the current study, permission. What is the permission? However, the most important is to provide an understanding of the variables that will be in there. So these are for published instruments. Now, what does that mean? Published instruments means that this is a questionnaire that has been used previously. And you have to be very careful about that, because a lot of times the data set that you're purchasing, that you're acquiring, costs money. Or not only the data set, the questionnaires are copyright protected. For instance, I'll give you an example. The Myers-Briggs type indicator, MBTI, and then also the Kiersey test. All of these are copyrighted, and if you wanted to use this in your dissertation, each set of responses are copyrighted and need to be purchased. So make sure before you're saying you want to use, make sure the feasibility of the study, and if that is something that you're able to use. Intervention studies, most people don't conduct these, because a lot of times there's a control group that's necessary. And then operationalization for each variable, describe how each variable is measured or manipulated. So these areas, be sure to take a look at what is primary study versus secondary study, and what pertains and is appropriate for you. Like I said, the archival data is not something that most people use. Then we go on to the data analysis plan. Threats to validity. Make sure you go through each one of these and take a look at what types of validity pertain to your study. Sometimes people don't really pay attention to this, and I really think that's important. Then, of course, ethical procedures is important, and then describe treatment of data and other ethical issues. So one other area that I wanted to highlight is the power calculation. And I have to, sometimes you might not find the calculations here. So in the, a lot of times students miss this. In G-Power, you're expected to do a power calculation. So make sure that you use the correct software. This is called G-Power. I wanted to emphasize on this, because a lot of times students don't remember to do this, because this is somewhat hidden here. And this is one of the first things that are used to calculate. So in summary, when you're looking at the proposal, make sure you carefully read this and go through and do the corresponding page numbers, and make sure that you know what goes in what category. And once you do that, you'll start to populate these this checklist and be able to determine what goes in what chapter. I hope this has made some sense. Thank you for listening.